By now, everyone is aware of the turbulence going on in the Middle East, a region of the world where turbulence is a part of life. But scratch beneath the surface, and it's quickly apparent that these demonstrations are not just par for the course. For the first time in many years, it is the educated who have taken to the streets rather than the fundamental. And it's their own governments who are the targets of ire rather than foreign infidels. But that's not all that sets the demonstrations apart. New media has been used extensively in these protests, resulting in Egypt shutting down the internet. To talk to us about the implications technology has for situations like this, we're joined by Curtin Lecturer for Internet Studies, Dr. Tamer Lever. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been bandied about in the media that the Egyptian government has shut down the internet for the nation. Could you dumb that process down for us? How does someone turn the internet off?
Well, in Egypt, it's not actually that hard because they've got a very limited number of actual internet service providers. So there are five main companies that do basically all of the internet infrastructure in Egypt. And it was basically as simple as some fairly high-level threatening phone calls to the internet service provider saying, turn it off now or you're all going to jail tomorrow. So they basically did what they were told, flicked it all off with one standout, one very small internet service provider called Nor, which stayed on for an extra few days, but they've now been shut down as well. So there's literally no internet service providers active in Egypt.
Does this move by the Egyptian authorities strike you as a ploy to stop the flow of images of government brutality out of the country or to hamper communications domestically between the demonstrators?
I think it's a bit of both. I think the Egyptian government is very much in panic mode. I think they're quite aware that if the internet is active, no matter how much they try and filter it, it's pretty hard to stop communication between protesters, and it's pretty hard to stop the rapid flow of images out of Egypt of exactly what's going on in the way that, you know, a lot of brutality has been brought to bear on the protesters. But at the same time, it seems to have almost have had the opposite effect, because you see a lot of people are staying on the streets because they're not getting information in the ways that they're used to. So they're using traditional landline telephone, but they're staying out protesting all day. And if they don't have any other means to express themselves, I tend to think that's having the opposite effect of calming people down.
Does that mean then that international phone links are still up? And if so, can people connect via what hilariously now is antiquated technology of dial-up modems?
Interestingly enough, we do see some Egyptians using dial-up. I mean, I think the cost to use dial-up internationally is always quite horrific, but at the same time, it's an option, and there are people who are using the very slow speeds of dial-up to get messages, get photos, even get video very slowly out of Egypt. We also see that there's a lot of international companies trying to do what they can to support. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about how useful Twitter was for the protesters to organise initially. That might be slightly overblown, but it is certainly an important communication tool, and we see that just a few hours ago, Google and Twitter announced that they had sped up plans that they already had to provide a service that basically lets people make a phone call, and that gets recorded, and then you can either have that posted as an audio file or converted to text and posted as a tweet, which is certainly very important for Egyptians to be able to get the message out of Egypt about what's going on, which of course is vital, because Egypt has a fairly strong support from the US and Israeli governments, because they have been quite a strong supporter of the American war on terror and things like that. So while it's certainly not democracy, it's not like Iran where the US was, yes, good, let's fuel the protest.
Yeah, let's stoke the fires of revolution.
That's right. So it's really important for those images to keep getting out so people really do understand what's going on the ground.
With international and peer networking disabled, what tools from a technical perspective are still available to protesters on the ground? Are there some sort of domestic services that have been unaffected by the shutdown of international connections or anything like that?
Well, there is still, the old technologies of the telephone, and indeed because it relies on the telephone, people are still using things like faxes now, because it is a way of, sharing information quickly to a large number of people if you need to. It is a bit antiquated, but of course there's all sorts of other things that we don't necessarily know a lot about. But one of the interesting things about the footage that is coming out is we do see a lot of protesters still carrying their mobile phones and taking pictures and video. So So it might be one of the things that was discovered was very popular in Iran that we didn't really know about at the time, but after the fact became evident, is that a lot of the higher-end phones that are quite popular have things like Bluetooth, and Bluetooth doesn't rely on using a mobile carrier. So if you're in a short range of other people, then you can share large files very easily between phones. So it might be the fact that protesters are sharing all the images with each other. So even if you turn, and as we see that most of the mobile telephone networks are also down at the moment, but you can't turn things like Bluetooth off unless you take basically every single person's phone away, which hasn't been the case yet.
So you're saying that small ad hoc dark networks can be set up throughout, just on the fly kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's always options there, and I do think people who want to share information will find ways to do so very quickly and effectively. And of course, you know, when you have millions of people on the street, it doesn't take that long even for word of mouth to get from one end of a protest to the other. There's all sorts of things going on, and technology is certainly fueling the fire. But I think as people have those options removed from them, then on the ground they find other options, and for getting information out, there's all sorts of different things, as you say, like dial-up. And of course, we have to say that some networks like Al Jazeera are still doing a really good job of getting people in and using satellite technology to actually get images out, which is still happening, although it is certainly the case that the Egyptian government has closed down the Al Jazeera headquarters in Egypt and indeed arrested a number of their correspondents, but there are still others out there who are reporting.
Al Jazeera is pretty good at putting up with that sort of treatment anyway, from what I understand. It happens to them on a pretty regular basis.
It does, but they're doing an incredible job.
Phenomenal.
The other thing, of course, is that they're releasing most of their footage under a license that lets any other carrier basically play it for free, which is a pretty important thing at getting the message out now.
Wilson Rothman from MSNBC has said over the weekend that Cairo would need to return services by the Monday just gone or suffer severe economic and commerce problems. For those of us who might not be aware, how important is the internet to commerce institutions like investment firms and banks, and also to telecommunication work like call centres and stuff like that?
Well, in terms of basic economics, almost all of our money transfers over the internet these days. And if you turn the internet off, it means that Egypt basically can't do business with the rest of the world. Now, that's going to be a huge problem for the Egyptian economy, full stop. It means that the Egyptian stock exchange has ground to a halt. It means that banks can't transfer money in or out of Egypt in basically any capacity whatsoever. And it means that they're effectively sealed off from the global economy in terms of actually moving information or money. And one presumes that there's very little else moving in or out of Egypt right now either. So in terms of, you know, the entire national economy basically is ground to a halt, and that's going to have huge ramifications. I'm sure that their other major industry of tourism probably isn't faring terribly well at the moment either.
Troubling times for Egypt indeed. Dr. Lever, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Pleased to speak with you.
Dr. Tamer Lever there from Curtin University. He's a lecturer in Internet Studies.